Hey, it worked.
And that's how we're starting the show?
Yeah.
That's always a good first line.
It's always a good first line. Yeah. Welcome to Residual Hauntings. Revived! Yes, it's me, Tom. We are in the dungeon. Back to the dungeon. Joining me, as always, is Jesse Geek Girl and Russ, my voice. In your speakers? You mean your earphones?
That would be my speakers.
I'm hearing everything. Fine. All right. I don't know what your problem is. You always have issues. Let's try.
I'm completely off.
So you were hearing something before. How's that? Is that better?
No.
Is that worse? I don't understand.
It's the same.
How about now?
Oh, that's better.
There. I turned the volume up.
Usually when you don't hear something, because the volume may not be up.
My voice of reason, everyone.
It's a keen grasp of the obvious.
And Jess is really loud.
Sorry.
It's because you're... Oh, I see. My gain was down.
Wow, that sounds so much better.
Does it? How's that? Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
No advertising
like
for that crappy cell company.
It's almost like a freaking seashell right on the beach. You're 5 feet away from the ocean.
Well, we're only like 2 feet away from each other, so that probably has something to do with it. Could be. Maybe that's why I hear an echo in my ear as well. Yeah, we weren't here last week. Could be. No, it's just it's the squirrel. He's asleep. Yeah, we weren't here last week because, well, I just didn't want to drive in the snow. Simple as that. It was ugly last week. And we got a lot of snow, and I was really tired from California, which was a blast. Yeah. I had a great time. I got to tell you, it was the strangest investigation I've ever seen in my entire life. So we had 2 ghost meters and a flashlight doing the SOS simultaneously, and then the K2. All of them doing the SOS simultaneously.
Obviously, somebody felt like they were in great trouble.
Either that or the fairies were going crazy, because we held it at Joe's house, who is now a friend of mine on Facebook. Joe's awesome. He actually considered himself a parapsychologist. He is a doctor of psychology. And he has had groups there from Satanists all the way to people that believe in fairies in his home. And twice a year, he opens up the well to the fairy dimension and allows them to come into his home as long as they are not going to be disruptive or mean, is the rules that he has. And we had the ghost meter sitting on the table where he actually holds the ceremony for the fairies. And I'm like, okay, now I've done everything. I've seen a Bigfoot, I've seen ghosts, and now I'm communicating with fairies. I need some Keeblers. I need some cookies now.
I didn't see how I was doing. I was thinking, I wonder how they would interact with the troll.
I almost spit that all over my computer.
Oh, the brand new computer.
Brand new computer. Don't want to do that. Had a blast at Otis College.
I'm really hoping you're... I am. You changed.
I am.
There was Schnittum, but now it's...
I am not even logged in to chat because I've had nothing but issues with that.
I have no clue who any of these people are.
Well, welcome. They're probably friends of Craig's.
Honey, Snuggy, and Booble.
Booble?
If you'd like to, you can change your name by clicking on it. And here's Woody.
That would be me.
The Woogie Man?
The Woogie Darling.
Yeah, I wasn't going to throw that last part on.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Oh, let's do this here. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Oh, no. Not
you're not
to
you.
I'm getting there.
I'm trying to get on there, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to work or not.
I'm not sure if anybody is hearing this.
Yeah, it didn't work. Oh, well. I don't know if they're hearing us or not.
Yeah, I might drop out here for a second.
Okay. You're going to drop out for a second and listen to make sure that it says it's working.
No, I'm just turning off my mic.
Okay. Well, it's working. It says that it's working.
And there's Jess.
Hi, Jess.
Hey,
there we go.
There I am.
Hey, see? You have started a chat in another window. Press sign in to restart. What?
Yeah, I had issues with that.
Oh.
And they can't hear me, so.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anywho. So, yeah, I had a great time in California. Spent some time on the Queen Mary, which I haven't done in a long, long time. Nothing really happened. I have to tell you, though, that I was a little... It was a little disturbing sitting... Oh, have you been to the Queen Mary?
I have not.
So when you go through the engine room... Yeah, you go through the engine room. You start off... I just did my own little walk tour. I didn't do a... yeah, whatever, because their prices were outrageous, for one.
So you can walk on all you want for free?
No, it's not free. It was like $20, I think, I paid. Which was just basically you can just go wander through wherever you want. And you can also rent headphones and have a guy talking to you and telling the stories. But I didn't want to do the movie at the end because I only had like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So they let me go on the sub for free. And the sub was cool. The Russian sub they've got there.
Right.
I was a little claustrophobic. It was a little tight, but that was pretty cool. And the argument over the picture that I took. I'm still saying it was a ghost, but I'm not.
Okay. You can believe what you want, though.
I'm gonna. And then.
Just like the brick wall.
Shut up, Russ. So, but you go through the engine room. And they have a part cut out so you can actually see the propellers in the water. So you're looking over this rail into the water to one of the propellers of the ship. And the thing's huge. There's a picture of it on my Facebook page. But I got this vertigo feeling standing there staring at it. Because it dawned on me. I'm even getting it right now just thinking about it. The only thing that's stopping me from falling into this water where the propeller is a 1-inch metal railing. It was a little unnerving.
So don't fall over the railing. You're fine.
I wasn't going to, but that strange feeling you get, it was really kind of weird. But anyway, the Queen Mary was awesome. I had a good time there.
I did get to see it once because our cruise left from like the same port. Mm-hmm. So it was like right next to it. I'm like, I want to go so far.
You should have just gone.
So close,
oh, you didn't have time.
No, I didn't have time. Yeah. So close, but...
I highly recommend just going and walking through, and they've got some really cool stores in there. You can do like a photograph. They've got costumes you can put on, so period costumes, and get your picture taken.
That's awesome.
I didn't do that, obviously, because it would have been cooler if Stacy was there. But they also have a Celtic store, Scott store, where they have all your tartans and all the stuff. So I got a tie with my family colors and thing you put your drinks on.
Coaster.
Coaster, thank you. With my family logo on it.
Sweet.
So, and I got to spend time at Otis College and met some really awesome people, had a really good time. 2 classes, some great questions. We had 2 of the students show up for the ghost hunt. We had like 10 that were planning on coming, and they must have got lost because Heather and I got lost trying to find the place. But it was a good times. Had something, felt like something walked through me. In one part of the building, the original owner died, and he took care of animals. He brought animals in, and he was a doctor, like a cardiologist that smoked like 20 packs a day. And, talk about calling the pot black. I mean, the kettle black. I mean, this guy he died in his bed, and they bought the place, and they're trying to fix it up. And their daughter is a Doctor Who freak. She's worse than me. She had Doctor Who sheets on her bed. I was extremely jealous. Anyway, so that was California, and now I'm back in Utah.
Does that make her bed bigger on the inside?
I didn't check. I did not check.
I'm surprised you didn't ask her that yourself.
She wasn't there. I probably would have.
Okay.
So, anyway, now you just totally threw me off. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks, Russ.
I'm going to drop out again because they were having problems getting into sound, so I'm going to check that.
So is it? It says that it's sent and it's working. So well, they're saying
they're getting a player there.
I don't know what's going on with the listen live.
Do they know they have to right click?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
To listen, right click and open new tab. I don't know how I'm supposed to sign in.
The other day when I was trying to listen to the beach show.
Okay, now it's saying I'm a wiggly darling again. But I don't have any chat. You're going to have to send me Tom's Big Word on Facebook. So are you having problems still? Are you hearing, Russ?
That's like music. That's not.
I'm connected. It's saying sent and connected.
That don't sound good.
So it's not broadcasting live?
It's all garbled.
It's all garbled? That's weird. Because my output, hold on. Okay, that's weird. I don't know. I'm showing everything's working fine.
It's gone. What did you do?
I didn't do anything. I did nothing. I did nothing. Let's see here. Encoder is correct. Directory is correct. Login is on, and it's saying it's sent. Input is working fine. I don't know. As always, it's Monday night. Technical difficulties on RHR. Nothing new there. I don't know if you want to send a message to Craig and see if he can fix it.
Incoming message, Master.
Your phone isn't on silent.
I know, I'm sorry. So, did you see Mimi's post? Night flights got broken into?
I did not see
on
that.
On Sunday night?
I did. I saw that. Oh,
I'm a little pissed.
I haven't been on Facebook much.
So the library down...
I did see that.
Yeah. Yeah, they got broken into. The MP3 player or their iPad or their iPlayer. iPod, thank you. My God. Their iPod was stolen and a couple of comic books were taken before they got freaked out. So they have video camera, they're checking that, but yeah. It's kinda sad. It kinda ticks me off.
Yeah.
So is it working now?
No, I mean, we've lost everybody out of the room. So. I don't know.
Well, they can always listen to the show on the podcast after. I will have it up tomorrow for sure, as always. Now, making me wonder, well, no, everything seems to be working fine there.
It might be loud soon.
Okay. Yeah, it probably is. They've been having issues. They did an update with Loud City, and they've been having issues ever since, haven't they? Didn't Friday Ketchup have problems too?
No, the week before we did our show, she did. The last weekend, she was fine.
All right, well, this is a good segue. Night Flights Comics is the sponsor of Just a Geek Girls Movie Review. If you are interested in comics and you are not interested in comics and want to get interested in comics, go talk to the staff down at Night Flights. There's two locations. There's the one at the downtown store right there in the Library Square, or the one in Murray, which is across from the Valley Fair Mall, a Fashion Place Mall. I always get those two mixed up. State Street, about 6200 South. Can't miss it. Big sign, Night Flights Comics. You can find them online as well. They go in there and tell them what you like, and they will direct you to the comic that would be perfect for you. Love Night Flights Comics, and they are great sponsors of ours. This week, we had Jess review Selling the Dead.
I sell the dead.
Okay.
There you go.
So I sell the dead.
Dead eBay.
Dead eBay.
A little before eBay's time, this not, movie.
That would make an interesting really. Movie, though.
This movie was 1800s. What are you talking about?
It was released in 2008.
No, I know. Well, okay, but I'm saying the time period of the movie. I'm going to throw something at you, and I'm armed.
Two of them.
Can't get further away.
Yeah, two of them. And feet. I have feet, too. Take it away, Jess.
I liked it. I did feel there were some issues with it, though. I kind of felt like they had several different styles they were trying to accomplish, and they couldn't, like, focus in on, like, one style.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of felt like part of the movie, you're like, well, this kind of feels like this type of artist style, and then another part of the movie, it's like, trying to do something else here, and I was like, whatever.
I wonder if they changed directors, which happens sometimes.
I don't know. Maybe.
Three times?
look at World War Z. I mean, what have they gone through? Four directors now? Something like that? They finally get it done? It happens all the time. Anyway.
Anyways. But it was really fun. It had a couple of my favorite actors in it, which made me happy. And I just like to look at Dom. And Dom. What?
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah.
No. He's an awesome hobbit.
He was the hottest of the hobbits.
I don't know if I'd go there, but okay. But I thought Mary, the innkeeping daughter, was pretty good looking, but that's just me.
If you swing that way.
Yeah. Damn it, I do. I'm sorry, but I do. You know, Craig, you can jump in anytime you like. There's a mic right there. Feel free. Don't be afraid. Everybody else does it as well. So, yes. Oh. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, one of my favorite parts, though, was when they're on the island, and yeah. they've got the monster in the cage, and they're tied up to it, and it's like, Valentine, show him your face, and the monster's like, oh! But, anyways, there were some really classic parts in there.
I liked it. I mean, yeah, obviously it's not the top one of my favorite films. I liked how it kind of fit into a graphic novel kind of style kind of thing.
It was lower budget, I believe, but
well, I'm sure it was.
Considering that it was lower budget, their graphics, like their effects, were pretty awesome.
I think they probably spent most of their money on the effects. Right. I wouldn't be surprised if almost every actor in that film probably just donated their time to it. They probably knew the director or the writer or something and just wanted to do it. Because they had some big names in there. I mean, Ron Perlman and
Dominique Monaghan.
And there was a couple other ones in there. I can't remember exactly who else, but there were some decent names. And Ron Perlman's one of those guys who will do a film for a friend. Or I just recently read, did you hear that he donned his entire Hellboy costume for a kid who was in the hospital, Make-A-Wish. So he donned his entire Hellboy costume and went and visited this kid in the hospital. Spent like 3 or 4 hours with this kid. Just wouldn't leave. They were like, you know, you don't need to be here this long. He's like, I'm okay with that.
That's awesome.
So anyway. So hit die.
Hit die. I'm going to give it 16.
Good.
Just because I really liked it.
Not a crit, but it's a decent hit.
Yeah.
It's a decent hit.
I mean, there were some factors that kind of drove it down a little, but I did really like it.
Okay, cool. So now, next week, I have to do this to you. Because it just was put on Netflix, like, I think 2 weeks ago. And you have to watch it because it is the worst 80s movie ever made. The Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to make you sit through that one. I had to sit through it in the theater.
Is there Nazis?
No, it's not worse than Sir
Are Nazis. You sure?
There's actually some funny parts in the Garbage Pail Kids movie. There is some funny stuff in it. But yeah, I think you should have to watch that one. I had to see it in the theater.
You should have to.
Yes. I saw it in the movie theater. It's Remember when Garbage Pail Kids came out? I mean, come on. Yeah, I get 3.
Okay, it's only giving me 2 stars, and I'm very generous with my star rating.
It's kind of a cheesy version of Chucky. I mean, it's really, I mean...
I couldn't even make it through Chucky!
Maybe I won't torment you with that then.
Yeah, but then what are you going to kind of watch there?
Oh, Reanimator's on there now, too. Which is a really good one. It's the original version too, the 85 version. Oh,
I'm good with Garbage
Pail. All right, we'll have you watch Garbage Pail Kids, and then maybe next week we'll have you do Reanimator because Reanimator
for
is
for all the lovely listeners.
Okay.
They can't hear us.
Can't hear us. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, there's something going on. They just keep getting that gurgling sound. I think it plays the last song, and then like a gurgling sound, so it almost sounds like you're not linking up to that.
Yeah, and it's saying I'm connected, so I don't know. It's saying it's broadcasting and standard, no problems, sent for 20 minutes, and the encoder is incorrect and everything, so I don't know. Anyway, so have you watched this week's Walking Dead?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm a little behind on Walking Dead.
I
still have to finish season 2.
I'm way behind on Supernatural.
I'm about 3.
I'm on top of Supernatural.
What is that?
I'm a huge Supernatural fan.
Good, good. Yes. Yeah, all of us are Supernatural fans.
But I've never watched an episode of Walking Dead.
You haven't watched The Walking Dead yet?
Believe it or not, no.
That's Craig, by the way. So yeah, what are you laughing at? Are you making fun of me again?
No.
Okay.
Not making fun.
Well, did I do something wrong?
No.
No.
Okay. It is Craig, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You got everything right.
You get me nervous when you start laughing after I make a statement, because that typically means I screwed something up.
No.
We should just start laughing right away now. Every time
you're
Tom speaks.
Evil.
But it can't just be a laugh. It's got to be kind of a
little. So, yeah, this week's Walking Dead has been really good. And you've got to dive into The Walking Dead, because I will admit, the first season, way off the comic book. I don't know if you followed the comic book or not.
I have not.
The second season kind of started to go to the comic book, and now the third season, they're pretty close to the way the comic book is, which is awesome. I think they had a lot of fans get in saying, how come you've going off of the comic, you're going away from the comic book? And so they're kind of slowly tending towards it back. It's not perfect, but it's pretty close. And I'll tell you, episode one, season three, they killed more zombies in that episode than I've seen in any zombie movie I've ever watched.
Hmm.
I mean, they just go ballistic on zombies, which is a good segue.
I was going to say, because after watching Undead with the Lawnmower, that's a lot of zombies.
That is true. That's not actually Undead.
Dead Alive.
Brain Dead. Yeah. Brain Dead is actually the original title from New Zealand. What it was called when it was released in New Zealand. But for some stupid reason, they didn't think it was American enough when they released it here. So they named it Dead Alive.
They renamed Ozzombies.
Yeah, they did? What did they name?
I can't remember what it was. I'd have to go search on,
really?
On IMDb to find it.
Really?
Because it's not on IMDb under Ozzombies. It's got a different name.
Really? I didn't know that. That's kind of... That sucks.
Yeah.
Why? Would they change that?
Although I will say I'm looking forward to the release of Warm Bodies.
Oh my gosh, right?
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, it looks.
They had to have watched All Zombies.
By the way, it premiered before Twilight, so that's where you got your source, just so you know. How does that make you feel?
I am excited for that one because it looks awesome.
Did she attack you? I'm sorry.
It's a demon cat. It's you've been initiated. We could throw you down to the troll.
That's,
yeah. Trolls.
No. You are now marked for the troll. That's what it is.
Okay. I've been painted.
You've been tagged for the troll.
The way
oh, anyway. So, lied zombies. Oh, allied zombie for peace. Craig is here with us. I am feeling horrible. I have not dived into it yet. I got it Friday, and well, yeah, we went to go get our family pictures done Saturday.
Well, they changed it to wasting away.
Wasting away. Why in God's name did they do that?
I'm just saying that's what they changed it to.
Ah, Zombies was the perfect title, and that's why I've been plugging it forever. I mean, it bumped Dead Alive off my top 10 list of zombie films.
Right.
That's pretty damn impressive, because it's got Bruce Campbell in it, you know? Anyway, Allied Zombies for Peace. Craig, let's talk a little bit about your book. This is your first book, right?
Well, it's actually my seventh novel.
Oh.
It's the first one that I have actually released.
Oh, okay. You're like me. We write a lot and just don't want anybody to read them.
Yep. I only decided to get one out there.
So this is 1968. So let's talk a little bit about tell us the premise of the book.
The book takes place within 1 hour, the entire book, 42 minutes, which there is significance to the number 42, as you all know.
But of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Answer the question of life,
the universe,
and
everything.
Right, and that's yeah. And that's
took
not,
me there for a second. My brain is not on.
It's not mentioned in the book, but yeah, 42 minutes, and what happens is the Allied Zombies for Peace are a zombie civil rights group. And for the fourth year in a row, they've been placed behind the Ku Klux Klan in the Columbus, Ohio Veterans Day Parade. And they don't like it because the Klan goes ahead of them, and then everybody gets pissed off and they start throwing beer cans at the zombies, and it totally diminishes their cause. So everything in this particular parade in 1968 goes awry, and it turns into a bloodbath for about an hour.
Awesome. So 42-minute bloodbath.
42-minute bloodbath.
I mean, what can go wrong? You've got KKK, zombies, and equal rights people.
You have other organizations. There's a group of hippies there.
Oh, please tell me they got turned into zombies. Please tell me the hippies get turned into zombies.
I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, some of them get...
awesome! There's nothing better than zombies and hippies.
They're called the New Revolutionaries for Peace and Love. There are also some Vietnam veterans.
From World War One. I love that. That's awesome.
And there's some World War One guys in there as well. They're about 70 to 72. And I had to include the World War One guys because they have the best songs and they have the best sayings out of any patriotic period. And they're in full form.
All right. Fighting. So now, what made you decide to write a zombie novel? I know you have a zombie album out.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, on that note, I came bearing gifts.
The zombie sing-along. This is awesome.
Zombie sing-along and zombie sing-along too. I got copies for all of you. And I actually brought some of our pirate CDs.
Oh, see, now you're going to take Craig also the video. Craig is also the lead singer of one of my favorite new bands, Funktoast, which I end my day at work with every single day now.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. Every single day, the last hour is Funktoast.
Oh, that's so cool. You should have recorded more stuff. Well, then, if you like Funktoast, listen to the song Zombulation on Zombie Sing Along 2. That's the most Funktoast story of the group.
All right, so now, inspiration behind this.
Sure. I spent some time in Columbus, Ohio, and while I was there, I went to the Veterans Day Parade. It was really patriotic, and it was a big deal. This was back in the early 90s, and it was inspiring, but being a little bit sick and twisted, I thought, wow, it'd be so much better if there were zombies marching in here, because there's civil rights groups and lots of veterans, and in my mind, I just saw some zombies cruising down the street as well, and that's what inspired the story. That's been in the back of my mind for a long time. And then I was doing some reading, some historical reading about the year 1968 when a lot of things happened. And there was the Democratic Convention in Chicago where everything went wrong. There was Kent State that happened in Ohio, by the way, shortly after this story. And all that turmoil, and it just seemed like the perfect fit. Zombies, civil rights. I've never seen the zombie go up against the KKK before, so I thought that would be pretty cool.
Jess has. Surf Nazis must die.
Oh, it has been done.
I've wiped it from my mind.
not really. There's no zombies in Surf Nazis Must Die. Just kidding.
So that's what inspired the story, really.
Now, how long did it take you to write this one?
First draft, probably. Actually, this was a tough one. It's probably the most involved story that I've ever written, the most difficult. And the reason why is because there are many, many storylines. You have the KKK story and the zombies, and then you have the hippies versus the war veterans, and you have the World War One guys in there, and they all have kind of their own stories that wrap around all the events that take place. And when I started writing it, I wrote it in order. I wrote it in chronological order until it just blew up in my face. So I had to detach all the stories and write them all individually and then try to shuffle it all back together. And then it didn't make any sense then, so I had to go back and rewrite it. So other novels take me maybe for the first draft about 6 weeks or so. This one took a while longer. It's the most difficult by far story because of the complexity of it. And it all takes place within 1 hour.
And I just happened to open the first page to a vacation family, all with matching t-shirts that said the Mormon Church on the front, and would you like to know more about it on the back? Awesome for me to open up right there. So now, also too, you can hear the
that came after 68, didn't it?
It's okay. It's still good. Yeah. So now you can actually hear, what is it, the first two chapters?
First three chapters.
Where can we get that at?
If you hit my blog, craignibo.com.
Spell that for him.
CRAIGNYBO.com, and look in there, you're going to find it. It's right there towards the top in the blog post, and you can check out the first three chapters of the book.
And his awesome music is there as well, and as Amazon as well. So I've got a couple of these on digital, but I don't have the whole thing, so I'm kind of excited to listen to this. Now,
guess what my kids are going to be listening to for the drive down south.
So now, I totally lost my train of thought because I thought that's going to be freaking hilarious tormenting your kids with that. That's actually not a torment. So now, a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You work for a digital company.
Yep, digital creative company. Yeah.
And we met you at SLC Nerds, I think. I think actually I met you for the first time before SLC Nerds at World Horror Con, I think, is where I met you.
I think it was SLC Nerds.
Was it SLC yeah. Nerd? Yeah. And you guys performed there. Was it Funktoast that performed there? Or was it?
That was a reunion of Funktoast is a band that I played with back in the 90s. So I've been around a while. And we decided to just have a reunion just for fun and played SLC Nerd and decided to play the Gangrene Film Festival.
For those that have listened to that episode, the band in the background is Funktoast, and I get a kick out of watching the video because you hear me laughing more than you hear the band. So, yeah.
If you listen to the Stephen Hawking, Craig was
Stephen Hawking. That's right.
Yes, I did make a cameo as Stephen Hawking.
That, and you were telling me that was only like, what, a 5-minute rehearsal or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we just got together in the morning and worked out the gags, and we didn't know if we were going to offend everybody. We didn't know if we were going to get booed off the stage. We just decided we were going to do it.
I don't care if you offended anyone. It was the highlight of the night.
I'm listening to the crowd. I don't think you offended
anybody. No. So now with this, what is there going to be more to this, or is this just a one-time story? Or are you going to add to it? What are you thinking?
Well, this book definitely isn't a zombie purist book, although my zombies are George A. Romero zombies. Those were the guys I liked the most. So
the slow, dumb ones?
Yeah, I like the slow, dumb ones. But these guys are not dumb. These guys live... They can live for 100 years as long as they don't get damaged or shot in the head or whatever, maimed. So they can live for as long as they are not damaged, and they're sentient. They can think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Reason. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're smart. And
I don't know if I like smart zombies. That scares me.
Oh, these are pacifist smart zombies.
Oh, pacifist smart zombies.
At least for the beginning of the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Once they taste the man flesh, the other white meat, they go ballistic.
So the zombie leader in this book has lived, he becomes zombie during the reparation period, according to the book. So I'm thinking I might go back and do something eventually. I'm thinking maybe there might be something to do in Gettysburg that has to do with zombies. Might be kind of cool. Somewhere along the lines.
You should check out Exit Humanity. Oh. It was a direct to DVD. Mm-hmm. It's a zombie film right after the Civil War.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And I was very reluctant at first because some of the reviews, but I dived into it. Well done. I mean, literally, there is no dialogue for the first about 25 minutes of this film.
That's cool.
I mean, and it's just pure his emotion, this one guy's emotion. But yeah, I would love to see something like that. I'm such a zombie freak, and I love it when it's different.
Yeah, me too.
It seems today that most of the zombie things that we're seeing are just copies of copies.
Cookie cutter zombies.
It's one of the reasons why we liked Aw Zombie so much. It was such an original idea. And this whole, you know, the rights for zombies, I loved. I've brought that up before. I actually asked Max Brooks that when I sat and I asked him. I said, you know, in the Shaun of the Dead thing, do you think there'll be groups that will defend zombies? And he's like, yeah, there'll be some dumb idiots out there that'll do that, and they'll be the first ones eaten. But still, it's a great idea of, you know, can we live in a world with the undead?
Well, these guys certainly are giving it a go. I mean, they're altering their diet, and they have a no-bite order, and biting is considered a capital offense by the federal government, so they're certainly giving it a try. It mentions that Fitzgerald, the zombie civic leader, has talks with the President of the United States and is working really hard towards...
Say 68 would have been Kennedy then, right?
No, that would be John...
Was it Johnson?
Yeah, it was Johnson.
Was it Johnson?
Yeah, Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson. Well, Johnson. Zombies, Lyndon Johnson, same, probably same the same level.
See, I have that whole Finding Nemo
Yeah, the flying shining yahoo-ha kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Fish are our friends.
Friends, yes.
Not food. Ah, killed Tom.
Ah, you killed me.
Zombie AA meeting.
Ooh, that's a great idea. A zombie AA meeting. A group session.
I can just see that. One guy stands up. I'm sorry. Without the visual, I just wasn't near as funny.
That's a great idea. We need to make that video, Jess. We got to video on it before somebody beats us to it. Yes.
I haven't had one flesh in at least 2 weeks.
So what other things you got going? I mean, obviously you're a big part of SLC Nerd.
Yes.
And we've got some part of SLC.
I am a part of SLC Nerd, but really that's Ben still. I think you had Ben on here.
Yeah, we've had Ben on at SLC Nerd. So
yeah.
Oh no, we had him here before SLC.
We had Ben and John.
John, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I support Ben, and I do whatever Ben says for SLC Nerd. Gangrene Film Festival, however, I have a lot.
And I loved it. It was our first year this year, and
I'm so glad you guys came.
It was awesome.
It was a riot.
I really want to do a 5-minute short for next year. It's just a matter of finding the time. We have an awesome idea. We just need to do it.
You got the inside track, man. Just send it to us.
Yeah. I think we could probably get it shown.
By the way, you look great.
Thank you.
I did not recognize you. I walked by Tom 2 or 3 times at Gangrene before I recognized him.
I've had a few people like, I know that voice, but I don't know that face.
Yeah.
So I actually got recognized this weekend by someone that knows me from ghost hunting, which was really kind of creepy. It always freaks me out when somebody recognizes. You're that ghost guy. No, that's not me.
Only by reputation, because apparently people have been on tours with you don't recognize.
Yeah, I've had that too. I don't know if you saw that post. We had a lady who went on our tour not too long ago, who came up and talked to me for about half an hour.
Right.
And didn't know it was me. And she's like, "Oh, have you met Tom yet?" Right at the very end. And I'm just kind of like, I think maybe I should probably introduce myself.
I recognized you because I saw the banner on your table. I read the banner, and then I looked up and I went, "Oh, that's Tom."
Yeah, I know. It's scary.
And
but
I felt bad, but you probably are all right with
it. I'm totally fine with that. So anyway, so Thanksgiving zombies. Would you have big plans for this weekend?
Lots of eating meat. For Thanksgiving, yeah, of course.
Right. I mean, yeah. Are you gonna do any signings or anything like that? And
I'm looking into getting out there. The book came out not very long ago. It's only been about a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So I haven't had
it's doing pretty well. Like from what I've seen on Amazon.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I went on, there was only 2 copies available. So yeah, it's going pretty fast.
I'm surprised it is. It is doing pretty
You've got
well.
Some good fans. You really do. And if you're interested in zombies and you're interested in some awesome music, you need to check out Craig's website. You can get it on Amazon. It's Allied Zombies for Peace. I think we should have you do a signing at Night Flights. I'm sure we can hook you up with that easy enough.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be great.
And I'm sure there's a couple other places we can.
I think he should go up there. The 2 hours, the 1st of December when they do the...
Yeah, we can actually probably do that. The first weekend of December, we're doing a 2-hour, you go in and anything you buy, the money, 20% of it's going to Residual Hauntings.
Oh.
And we can have you sign. I'll talk to Mimi. I got to go over and pick up my comics tomorrow, maybe,
well,
if I'm not dead.
Rock.
Yeah, I think we could get it set up easy enough.
Yeah, because we've had, like, when we've done out some of the stuff, and like they had Tartary.
Donation.com
came out. He just sat there and drew characters.
It was packed. Yeah.
Anytime he goes any place, he does.
Yeah, and we can get you there too. I think it's a great concept. I'm looking forward to diving into it. I'm sure I will. I mean, just reading what I've read, just glancing through it, it's awesome, and the concept is a great idea too. I just have too many author friends. They got to stop sending me books.
Yeah, I read that post.
Seriously, it's like, will you guys stop? Will you take a break?
Every other week. Yeah, that's crazy.
My Kindle's got like 50 books on it that I can't get to.
You stop.
The biggest decision of the day was whether Paul Jeunesse should grow a beard or not.
I was excited for that. I was like, all he's doing is, yes, Paul, please, just grow a beard, Paul, please. Don't write 5,000 words.
You know how that started, didn't you?
No.
Okay, so he just went over to Italy.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of him and Tammy, and I was like, is that the beginnings of a beard on Paul? And he goes, no, just a little 5 o'clock shadow. And then he posted that was only like 5 days growth, where he was writing and didn't want to stop to take the time to shave.
Or
then
shower or down, anything
then
else.
Shaved it down to a goatee. And he says, so what do you think, Russ? Should I grow a beard? And I go, well, with just the goatee, and I think it was because of his eyes were so wide. I go, with just the goatee, you kind of come across as a stand-up comic. But if you do the full groomed, trim beard with the sunglasses, it's more like the Italian mafia mob.
Look. See, now that's what I would have gone
and
so, for.
And he's like, I might have to think on this a little bit more. And then everybody jumped in, grow the beard, grow the beard. And Tammy's like, don't throw the beard.
Mine started because somebody said November was beard month.
No, it's no...
is it no shave month or something?
Yeah, it's kind of like a no shave month.
Oh, well, I still clean it up because if I don't, it drives me crazy. And it's already getting to the stage where it's driving me crazy. It's about to come off. And Stacy will be happy if it does because she's not happy with it. Although we just got our family pictures done with the beard, and she's just kind of like, yeah, you have a beard in the family pictures. Because she actually tried to get me to shave it off before. I'm like, no, I don't want it. I'm growing the beard.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people, they think a lot of guys grow their beard.
Well, it's the deer hunting thing, too. We did that. I remember in high school, we used to do a beard contest. So, like, 30 days before the deer hunt, we'd all get in and go to a barber that was in West Jordan and do the hot towel and the straight razor, and he'd shave us really close. And we'd all put in, like, 20 or 50 bucks into a pot, and whoever had the thickest beard by the deer hunt won the money. I never won, but it was always fun.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't have won either because, yeah, native.
Yeah, mine too. It's the Irish thing, you know. We start to grow them, but it takes a while for them to wake up and go, hey, it's time to grow. And then we had one guy who was, I can't remember who he was, but.
See, I'd always lose to the guy that had his full beard in seventh grade.
Yeah, that's how Eric was. Eric was like, he'd shave at 2 o'clock in the morning, and by 3 o'clock in the morning, he had another beard.
Yeah, it's just an extension of his chest hair coming up.
I've known a few of them too.
Yeah. So. Well, there comes a point in every man's life where he needs to grow a beard. And then there comes a point in every man's life where he needs to shave it off.
And I'm getting close to that point.
Poor Kevin's almost 30 and still can't grow a beard.
Well, he's also got another excuse, though, military. I mean, it's not really I mean, it's one thing when you're in combat, it's another when you're sitting in an office all day long.
And see, to me, it's. What kind should I grow this time? I've had it where it was the full bushy goatee, and then where I...
The ZZ top?
Pretty much, but just the goatee. So, yeah. I mean, but I could braid it into a nice ponytail. I've had it where taking it out of the middle to where you have the extended ponytail, like two of them, down each side of the lip.
Whole black beard.
Braid it and gel it so that they're like really sharp, but then every time I'd smile, they'd stick straight out in front of me.
Put some can starters
like
in it.
I had to keep it like that. Except it wasn't like a goatee, it was just like a really long soul patch.
Well, it started out because there's...
What's a soul patch? Just a little solo patch. Just a little strip. The hipster thing? Yeah.
But no, it started out because I was trying to pick on somebody at my work, and one of the other managers goes, do a two-tone, or where this is groomed, but the goatee's just...
Crazy?
Yeah.
See, now I'm not allowed to just have a mustache, because I've been informed that when I just have a mustache, I look like a 70s porn star. So I am not allowed to just... It's either the goatee, the beard, or nothing at all. Because
you can have a mustache if you get one of those 8-point cop hats and wear it.
Yeah.
You'd be all right.
My wife would probably. I'd wake up in the middle of the night tied to the bed and a razor going off the mustache. Yes, I did it once when we were dating.
You'd only get half of it before you'd wake up. Maybe if I go over half a mustache.
Half a mustache.
Even if you wore a badge?
She might like that. But no, actually, I had a mustache. I grew the mustache out. I had the goatee and I shaved the goatee off. And I mean, We were dating at the time, and she's like, that is going off now. She made me go in and shave it off. Right, we are not leaving this house until you shave that, because you look like John Holmes. For you younger kids.
I gotta tell you, this is not one that I've grown yet, but that I have actually seen. And that is, and I thought the guy was actually wearing like a scarf, because his face and all, wherever my beard is and where your beard is,
yeah,
clean shaven. But the hair that's on
underneath,
the neck,
I've seen that too.
Literally this,
yeah, I've seen that too.
Long, and it looked like a muffler or something around.
Like it was neck. Like he's trying to wear a scarf
in
his hair.
It looked like a ZZ Top beard, but it only
it
came off
of
the neck.
It was like the reverse mohawk kind of thing. That's disturbing.
I don't know, because that would be like a bald spot.
Yeah, that's a reverse mohawk. Have you not seen a reverse mohawk?
I know what a reverse mohawk is.
Okay.
I keep telling
Jess
you,
is wearing one right now.
I keep telling you, I wanted to do that one thing where I grow the big beard, shave off the mustache, and just have the beard, do the sideways mohawk. So I got the whole circular thing going.
I would give you a dollar for you to do that, because that would be awesome. Although, I don't think you're ever going to shave your head again. Once was enough, right?
No, you know, hair's hair.
It comes back.
It was just a pain to try to keep it shaved. That was the problem.
That's one of the reasons why I stopped.
I hate really, really short hair.
That's my only problem.
Because it sticks up. My hair has to get fairly good length before it finally falls over.
I have not shaved my head since the 1st of October. And this is as long as it's gotten. If those that can't see it, obviously, on the show. But it's...
Yeah, it looks real good for radio.
I can't grow hair anymore. Shut up, Jess. I've been bald for a while. I'm quite aware of that. But ever since the surgery, too, they say that it's actually a common thing for people that have the gastric bypass, because you don't have the testosterone that you had. You're not producing it like you were.
Oh, okay.
So you don't grow as hair as quickly as you would. So, and I just got sick of shaving. It's such a tedious, boring task.
It lasted, let's see, what did I shaved it off at the 1st of March, and by the middle of June, I was done.
Yeah. You looked creepy bald.
Because I couldn't keep it, well, but I always had stubble. I couldn't not have stubble.
Well, I've got a couple of pictures of you on Facebook with it. You're just bald, and I've gone back and looked at it, and you look kind of creepy.
You almost look like Lex Luthor.
Yeah, a skinny Lex Luthor. Yeah, anyway. We've totally ignored our guest here. So now, other music that you've done, and you also have a Bigfoot band.
Yeah, we sure do.
I was introduced to this just recently, and
the Bigfoot music video was freaking awesome.
It is hilarious. What's the name of the band again?
Wasasquatch is the name of the
band. Wasasquatch, yeah.
Bigfoot Band was supposed to be a one-timer, but it's looking like we're going to be throwing our fur back on and doing SLC Nerds, so we're looking forward to it.
So I'm confused. There's Zombie Sing-Along and Zombie Sing-Along 2, Whistler of the Children Part 1.
Yes. Okay, so
okay.
Zombies, these are my records. Zombie Sing-Along is the first one.
Okay.
And that's just a songwriter kind of a thing. And Whistler and the Children Part 1 is the second record, which is... It has full instrumentation, but these are concept records.
I see. Okay.
So on each of these records, there's a story. In fact, all the records we do, there's a story in usually three acts. So, and Zombie Sing Along, Whistler, and the Children Part 1 is the first two parts of four acts. So I have one more zombie record in me before I cut it out with the zombie thing.
See, now I'm kind of diving through here and. A holy sandwich? Oh.
So glad he got the D and the W.
I know, right?
What?
You said holy sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of sandwich.
Sandwich, yeah. Sorry, it's been a long time since I had a sandwich. Anyway, you're going to be performing SLC Nerd.
Yes, yes we will be.
Full costume, obviously.
Yes, as was Sasquatch.
Is it hard to do? I mean,
you know, it's fun. It's acting, man. You put on that suit and you get up there, and it's just fun. Yeah, I mean, no one recognizes you. Well, you'll recognize me now, but when we did the show,
I didn't recognize you with Funk Toast.
Right. Well, that's acting too.
Yeah.
And we really conceptualized Funk Toast for that show.
Yeah.
We had a lot of stuff going on. Lost Sasquatch is the same way. There are a lot of sight gags, a lot of it's more of a show than just a band, but Lost Sasquatch plays primarily, they play like 80s anthem rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Rush and
it was a Blues Brothers, Rush.
Oh yeah, oh you're talking mix, about
Funk, Funk Toast, I'm yeah, sorry, Funk, yeah, 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 Funk Toast. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm getting the two mixed up. Right. So awesome.
Does the fur ever get in the way though? Like trying to play the instruments.
Actually, we were doing a show. We were doing a show at. We played at SL. Or no, we played. We did a show last year called Versus, and it was Pirates versus Bigfoots. And so we came out. We did a Bigfoot set, and then we went and we changed our clothes into Wasp Sasquatch, and we came out and we did a Bigfoot set. Okay, so we did a pirate set and then a Bigfoot set. And there was a point in there because my costume has a lot of chains and bling along with the fur.
Yeah.
There was a point where one of my dreadlocks got caught in my chain, and I could not get it out. So I'm over there just pulling as hard as I can. We had a live orchestra. We had a quartet up there, a string quartet for the show, and they were all just laughing, and I could not get this out. And it was coming up to time for me to play. I'm over there just pulling with all my might, and finally I just had to tear the dreadlock out and then, you know, get back up on the stage and play. But the string
dedication.
Quartet, they were just laughing. They were just laughing.
Dedication. Yeah. Dedication.
So yeah, now, the fur does get in the way sometimes.
Now, musician, how long have you been playing?
I've been playing a long, long time. But I have to say, the guys that I play with in the pirate band, which is called Rust Monster, by the way, for those of you who know what a Rust Monster is.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. So it's called Rust Monster, and the guys in Funk Toast are all... They just make me look good. They are the best musicians, and I'm just lucky to be with them. I'm like the lackey of the band, to be honest. Those guys are just far and away awesome.
I have been playing Funk Toast for my 13-year-old because he's playing the sax in his band, and he's been wanting to give it up.
Yeah.
And he's really good, and I keep telling him because he's like, what can I do with this? I'm like, dude, you have no idea. You could write your own ticket playing the saxophone if you're even just somewhat good, because it's one of those instruments that not a lot of people play.
Oh yeah.
And colleges are always looking for saxophone players.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't give it up. Don't.
Well, bands look for it too.
Yeah.
Because I know. I mean, that was one of the big things with Chicago and Oingo Boingo.
Yeah. Yeah, the saxophone.
Jimmy Buffett waited a long time to find the saxophone.
Yeah.
Plus, man, it's fun. You know, don't forget that.
I think that's fun. Where he's at. He's at it. It just doesn't. It's too much work for him right now.
Yeah.
He's not having fun with it. It's work, and I'm like, it's always going to be like that. Is when you first start out. Oh, that'll never happen.
No.
Tristan has my influence in music. God help us.
Good.
Yeah. He's a flogging Molly freak. So.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got my influence in music, but. Awesome. Greg, thank you so much. Check it out. Let's plug your website one more time.
All right. Blog site is craignybo.com. That's CRAIGNYBO.com. For you writers out there, by the way, I have a series on that blog to help you to also write a novel.
Oh, really? What is that? What is that?
It's just go to the blog and you click on how to write a novel. And I post regularly on there, and if you follow that, just like a dot-to-dot puzzle, at the end of the process, you will have a novel.
Oh,
as
wow.
Simple as that.
I've got it already.
Yeah, all three of us are writers, so.
That's, yeah, I knew you guys were.
Our wannabe. Yeah.
Trying to spit out my novel.
I'm published now.
Okay, but let's put it this way. I have a really great idea. Cool. I just wish I was good enough to write it.
I think you probably are good enough to write it. It just takes elbow grease, man. That's all.
And... what was it I saw the other day? It's 70% procrastination, 30% typing. It's just a matter of doing it is
the
big
true.
Thing. That's the big thing. Let's go ahead and jump into we want to do Tom's Big Word. Are you ready for Tom's Big Word?
I can be. Just give me a sec. Let's see. You're not in chat, are you?
No, I'm not in online, but I can load chat.
Well, just wherever you want me to.
Just send it to Facebook.
Because, there's only me and Jess in the chat room. So, and see this one.
I'm only showing one. Oh, there we go. Wow, that was weird. Okay. My chat on Facebook keeps showing like two people on, and then one person, and then everybody, and then one person, and then nobody.
Really?
Okay, that's an awesome picture. Big Bird for Thanksgiving dinner. Big Bird for Thanksgiving dinner. I like it. Only because, you know, I would cook Big Bird. Although he's probably old and kind of gamey now.
All right, here we go.
All right. Tom's Big Word is a joke started by Tim, who is a good friend of ours, who likes to torment the hell out of me. And now Jess and Russ do this as well, because let's make fun of Tom, because it's always fun to make fun of Tom.
And you know, I will say this is generally the educational portion of the show, but I'd have to say tonight, yeah, I'm probably
going to make fun of Tom. Am I going to have to make this a... like a mature audience on.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Which one is it? There's two of them here.
Huh?
It's the second one, though. The other one was from last week.
Oh, the other one was from last week.
Okay. I don't even know if I want to say this.
The one that's not November 5th.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to say this.
I'm waiting for you to define it.
Spermologer. It's a person who counts the sperm count. Spermologer?
That's actually closer than I thought he was going to get.
What is it? Okay. Did I say it correctly? Spermologer?
Spermologer.
Spermologer? No. Spermologer. It's the girl who... Never mind.
It's a sandwich maker. No,
it's what she spits out afterwards. It's a spermologer.
No. The true definition is one who collects trivia.
Are you serious?
That's the true definition.
I'm
going to
tell all my friends I'm a spermologer now.
I'm a spermologer.
I hope you remember to say it right.
Oh, that's hilarious. How do you pronounce it?
Spermologer?
Spermologer.
And so I just figured that, I mean, you were actually pretty close. One who counts. Yeah, that's okay. Trivial.
Keeps track of trivia.
Yeah, what collects one collects.
It is an,
trivia.
It is not an extra on a porn film site.
It's not a key grip. Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh God, why do we do this every week?
You took us into the filming industry. That's all I'm saying. At least I didn't call him a gaffer.
God, I think this is the last week for Tom's Big Word, and for the show, because we're going to be censored.
Whatever, we made it through damage.
That's true. No. All right, let's dive into Panda News. Panda News is brought to you by the Zombie Nation. If you're looking for rednecks, if you're looking for chicks with boobs,
same diff.
Chicks with boobs and zombies, you need to check out The Zombie Nation. It's done by our good friend Carter Reed. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, he comes out with a new segment. It's been a kind of love twist story been going on. He's been making fun of, I want to say he's almost making fun of Twilight, but with zombies. Check it out, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We love Carter Reed. And yeah, again, if you like zombies, you like rednecks, and you like boobs, you want to go check out thezombienation.com. Make sure you put in that "the" in there as well.
Yes, needs the.
Panda News. The. Just one the. The.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, we will start out in Cincinnati. A judge's offer to allow an Ohio drug defendant the chance to stay out of prison if he give up marijuana might have just gone up in smoke. Hamilton County Common Pleas Judge Melba Marsh says she was astonished by the response from 19-year-old Demaine Mitchell on Wednesday. The Cincinnati Inquirer reported Thursday that Mitchell told the judge he liked smoking weed and staying off of it so he could stay out of prison would be a challenge. He told the judge he could try to quit, but made a request, could he at least get one more joint in? The judge quickly said no. She wants Mitchell back in court next week before she decides what to do with this trafficking case.
He needs to move to Colorado.
It's like, okay, if you're a bank robber, can I just rob one more bank?
Just one more bank, please. Please. Come on. I won't even, I'll just take quarters.
Okay, this one will go back to one of the first Panda News that I ever found. Before it was even Panda News. We're going to go back to Oklahoma. Walmart has a large selection of cameras from about $40 to $92,000. Purcell police said two mystery men had their eyes on a high-dollar digital camera. Surveillance video captures the large men scanning the aisles and focusing on the lock cabinet for about 15 minutes. They returned to the empty photo department with a shopping cart and a backpack. Purcell detective Scott Stevens says they get them in the backpack and take them to an area that is not observed by cameras. They take them out of the packages. They left the packages and went out of the store through the checkout line. They did pay for some smaller items. Store security found those empty boxes shortly after the man left the store. Investigators say they suspect the men used their girth to smuggle out thousands of dollars of stolen merchandise. Do you remember the previous
story? Yes, I do remember the previous story.
Stevens said both of the gentlemen were large, so they apparently concealed the cameras somewhere on their body, but because they were so large, it was hard to see how they did it.
Now, you have to understand, the first story was some large women that were stealing groceries.
No, it was TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx. Oh, that's right. They were stealing clothes.
Two ladies stole from TJ Maxx in one outing. They took like six pairs of boots. Pairs of pants
hidden in their rolls. They literally in the story. It's in
the rolls of bats down their body.
Should hire those people for like an Easter egg hunt.
I don't want to go get it, Mama. I don't want to go get it. There's $10. I don't want to go get it, Mama. I don't want to get it. It ain't worth $10.
He could have a whole Easter bunny in there. I ain't going in.
I ain't going in.
I always talk about the golden egg, too. There's the special golden egg.
Yes. And no, the sad thing is that you wouldn't be able to tell if there was a rotten egg or not, the smell.
Oh, you really had the golden egg.
I did.
And you guys gave me a bad time when I did the first story, and I says, I guarantee you, they could get through TSA without being served. And that was the night we had Larry Correa on, and we kept talking about all the artillery that they could hide true. On him. Yeah. Just keep pulling out another weapon. All right, we will move. Some of these are kind of short. We're going to move to Massachusetts. A Rhode Island man, police say, used a counterfeit $100 bill to make purchases at Target stores, made a critical mistake. The bills had a picture of President Abraham Lincoln on them. Real $100 bills bear a picture of Benjamin Franklin.
Yes.
Lincoln's portrait raises the $5 bill.
That's funny.
Dana Leland of Central Falls, Rhode Island, was held on $1,000 cash bill after pleading not guilty Wednesday in Attleboro District Court to charges of uttering a counterfeit note and possession of a counterfeit note. Police tell the Sun Chronicle the 29-year-old Leland used the fake notes on three consecutive days at the North Attleboro store to buy items of less than $25.
Did he just draw zeros after the one?
Well, no. Because
Lincoln's on a,
on a five.
Oh, that's on a five. Okay, yeah. Washington's the one.
That'd be the 500.
Dollar bill. Yeah. Yes. That's better than the guy. Didn't you tell a story about a guy that brought in a $1 million bill to a place?
I can't remember. No. I think there was actually
a guy counterfeited $1 million bill.
Because, you know, you can make change for a $1 million bill.
Maybe at a Walmart.
I don't even think at a Walmart. West Hartford, Connecticut. Police say a Connecticut man. Let's see. Police in Connecticut say a man stole a car used to deliver Chinese food and continued dropping off orders so he could keep the customer's money.
No, sir, your credit card didn't work. You'd have to pay cash.
Keith Hines was charged on Friday with larceny, possession of less than half an ounce of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, and other drug charges. It is not known Monday morning if the 45-year-old Hines is represented by a lawyer. West Hartford police received a call from a Chinese food delivery driver reporting that his car had been stolen after he left it idling to run into a school. The driver also called his boss so customers could be notified that their orders were stolen with the car. Police say that one of the orders was delivered after the car was taken. Hines was held on $5,000 bond. I don't think he was still in the car. I think he was still in a job.
Damn it, they won't hire me. I'm going to show them how good I am.
All right, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Scranton police say a man was drunk when he walked into a strange home and fixed himself a late-night dinner and a nightcap as the home occupants slept sadly on the living room couch.
We have one of these at least once a month. Where people
he had nightcap this time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but sorry. Pretty much
I'm not playing footsies with you, I promise.
So, authorities say 24-year-old Stephen Johnson cooked a steak on the stove and helped himself to some clams, crab, and shrimp from the fridge.
That sounds good.
The man on the sofa woke up and called police after watching Johnson head out the door. The Times Tribune reports that officers arrested Johnson nearby. They say he made off with some of the leftovers, a box of Klondike bars, and bottles of rum and vodka.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
You know, he could have had that meal delivered.
Yeah, by the Chinese guy. That would be genius.
I think he would have been delivering the steak.
That's taken the Klondike bar to a whole new level.
Okay, back into Cleveland. A woman caught on camera driving on a sidewalk to avoid a Cleveland school bus that was unloading children will have to stand at an intersection wearing a sign warning about idiots. Court records show a Cleveland municipal court judge on Monday ordered 32-year-old Sheena Harden to stand at an intersection for 2 days next week. She'll be wearing a sign saying, "Only an idiot drives on the sidewalk to avoid a school bus."
I love judges like this.
The judge ordered her to wear the sign from 7:45 a.m. to 8:45 a.m. both days. Harden's license was suspended for 30 days, and she was ordered to pay $250 in court costs.
I saw a picture just on Facebook just the other day. Some girl was holding a sign that said, "I lied to my dad," and the dad is standing next to her. That's good parenting right there. Out in front of her school, she had a big sign that says, "I lied to my dad." Yep. The dad is standing there. I love it.
Okay. Now, I don't know if you've noticed.
No Floridas.
One Orlando, Florida story.
Thank God. I was going to get worried.
I actually was sitting there thinking, it's another first. We don't have one in Florida.
Yeah.
I found one.
Thank God.
Authorities in Florida credited a language barrier with foiling a trio of armed robbers who targeted a Chinese restaurant. The Orange County Sheriff's Office said the three masked men entered the new China eatery in Orlando a little before 9 p.m. Monday and demanded three employees hand over the money from the cash register, the Orlando Sentinel reported Tuesday. However, the employees apparently had trouble understanding the robbers. Two of the masked men pounded on the register in an attempt to open it, accidentally firing a gun in the process.
You know what, Sushi?
Police said the attempted robbers left without any cash and hopped a retaining wall into Woodbridge Apartments. A police dog led officers to a car, and three men were detained, but not officially arrested. No injuries were reported.
And that's Panda News. Awesome. Awesome. I want to add to the Panda News a moment of silence, a deep moment of silence. We had a good friend pass away Friday. Very close and dear friend of mine.
Really?
Twinkies. Twinkies died.
No, they may not be dead.
That's true. They may not be dead.
They may be on life support right now.
Hey, it's Kevin. Hi, Kevin. So, yeah, it's a sad, sad day. No,
you know, the bottom line is, regardless of what the next week holds, they're just going to sell off players.
Well, yeah.
They'll sell Dolly Madison to one group.
I'm really concerned, though, that they're going to get it's going to get bought by that Mexican company. Although that just means that there'll be more sugar and real sugar made in them. Because in Mexico, they use real sugar, not the stuff we use here in America. So I have to say that I ate an entire fruit pie, cherry fruit pie, no, a chocolate fruit pie on Saturday. That was a chocolate pie. When it's a Hostess pie, it's a fruit.
I will say I found a place today still has the Hostess rack.
I've seen a few of them, and they have some donuts in there.
I did get the last two cupcakes that they had.
Oh,
but they had a grundle of the little donuts.
Yeah, they had a bunch of the little donuts, the little Debbies or the little Gems or whatever. But I did eat a chocolate pie. I think it was Saturday. I don't think I've been that sick in a long time because I ate the whole thing. Because I thought, I don't care. This could be the last one ever. So I'm going to eat it. I could only eat half of a chocodile. I could only eat half a chocodile, but I forced down a full chocolate pie, which was a mistake. Big mistake on my part. And I never had their Hostess cookies, the oatmeal raisin cookies before. Have you seen them? Have you had the oatmeal raisin cookies? They sell them like I think there's a dozen in a little container.
I don't think I've had those.
They were really good.
I have had the Little Debbie oatmeal cream cookies.
Oh, I love the oatmeal cream cookies. But, you know, the Hostess oatmeal raisin cookies were really good. I ate a couple of those. And I could have them because they only had like 9 grams of sugar per one. So that's within my limit.
And see, I just felt bad just because of the history.
The history and, you know, the sad thing is I was reading it today. There's only like 3,500 people that were actually a part of the union. And because 3,500 people didn't want to take the small pay cut, 18,000 people are out of work. Yeah, that's just it is a moment of history, though. If we think about it. We were talking about this on Facebook.
Right, because with me, it was a family tradition. My mom, I was the youngest of 7 kids. And she always had an issue because we had to get up so early because we had to have Christmas before my dad went to work. My dad worked for the newspaper.
Yeah.
So we had Christmas done by the time he had to go to catch the bus at 7:30 to go to work. And so at that point, you've got all the presents open and everything there. She had such a hard time getting everybody to get breakfast. Our stocking, we didn't get presents and gifts in our stockings. We got breakfast. And Hostess was a part of that. It was always, we had a handful of peanuts in the shelf. We had eaten probably like a package of the two Twinkies, a fruit pie, a ding dong, and then we would have like an apple and orange and a banana.
Just to make it a little healthy.
And then those little boxes of cereals that you
can't
find anymore.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the little Kellogg's and all
those. And
then
an envelope of Carnations for breakfast. And that was our stocking.
That's cool.
And so then we could just eat when we wanted to eat.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and I passed that tradition down to my kids, and I had to fight the in-laws to do that because it's not a normal tradition. And so for me, that's where it kind of hit me a little bit more was because it was losing part of my family tradition for Christmas. But I mean, as far as I bought a Hostess as a treat, not a staple.
Yeah, me too.
I was probably one of the people that were probably a reason why they couldn't afford to stay in business. So,
I
just wasn't buying that.
You know, and I even when I could eat sugars more than 9 grams of sugar a thing, Twinkies were my go-to fun food. I didn't eat them very often. I've always been a Twinkie fan. I know how bad they are. We've all watched Die Hard and listened to the ingredients that are in it. It's not really cream either. I know it's lard. I'm quite aware of that. But I used to like to take the Twinkie and put the crushed strawberries on top of the Twinkie with a little more Cool Whip. So it was kind of like an Angel Foods cake, kind of the strawberry shortcake kind of thing, but with Twinkies. And I started doing that with my kids, and we look forward to that spring every year. That was that thing. You have something to say, Jess, or?
Oh, my first thought, though, when I heard is, like, I thought of Ghostbusters. I
really did. Exactly.
I'm like, my kids will never understand the whole Twinkie scene joke. Where it's like, tell them about the Twinkie. What about the Twinkie?
I'm like, yeah. You know? What the hell's a Twinkie?
I know. What's a Twinkie?
Yeah. But I was also thinking, going over the thoughts of Hostess and all that stuff, I remember the first time I ever really got in trouble as a kid is I snuck out one Ding Dong in the aluminum foil, because I still put them in the aluminum foil.
Yeah.
But I was probably 9 years old, and I snuck it out of the house and ate it in the front yard, and my mom caught me. And I was in so much trouble. And every time I see a Ding Dong, I remember getting in trouble for basically stealing a Ding Dong that were for meant for our lunches.
So every Ding Dong just has a little bit of guilt.
A little bit of guilt. Did you have something you wanted to add?
No.
Oh, okay. You feel free to jump in anytime you like.
I will. All
right. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. No matter what, obviously, they're going to be back. I mean, you mentioned on Facebook this is probably their biggest sales day ever. I can't get over people on eBay. I was looking at it the other day. There was somebody on there that was looking for $5 million to buy to purchase the rights to make Twinkies. And then there's another reporter who spent the entire weekend trying to figure out how to make Twinkies at home. And he did this whole news blog and video blog on how to make homemade Twinkies, because he was so depressed that he wasn't able to get his Twinkies anymore. He had to figure out how to make them himself. Okay. And he,
plenty of recipes.
I know.
So many. And you know, I've heard like some radio stations that have tried to do it, and they just don't turn out right, because you have to have the climate in your kitchen just right. You got to, I mean, those plants had to be so.
One in 1930s is when the.
Control.
Yeah.
There was one that I saw. It was like, hey, this is what we, you know, this is what the basic Twinkie is, but we know it's not going to be exact. So what we're suggesting is a little bit of banana flavoring in the cake. And then in the three holes, you put the cream in the middle. You put like raspberry or strawberry jam on one side and chocolate in the other, and it's like a little portable banana split.
Oh, that's actually a good idea. I like that.
So it's trying to stay on with that, but knowing you're not going to hit it dead on.
Needless to say, I think last week was a big shocker. It was pretty funny on Facebook, and some of the comments and some of the pictures that we've seen, and just the history itself. It's a definite one of those history markers. Yeah. I can see now in kids' yearbooks, you know, 2012, 2013 yearbooks, the death of the Twinkie. Yeah, the death of the Twinkie. Anyway. Thanks everybody for tuning in. As always, great show. We will be back next week, and I promise we are going to do a show for every week for the rest of the year, unless weather or one of us is majorly ill. We'll go from there. Even if we have to Skype, we will be back live as always. I want to thank Craig for coming in. Check out his book, Allied Zombies for Peace. You can pick it up on Amazon, and you can first listen to the first three chapters. Plug your blog again.
CraigNybo.com, CraigNybo.com.
Where can they get the music?
You can also get the music at CraigNybo.com or iTunes or Zune or any digital download place.
Seriously, if you like humorous, jazz, upbeat, great music, I mean, if this is They Might Be Giants and Devo and, I mean, all that really good stuff, 80s kind of humorous rock and roll with the jazz twist style. Right. Awesome music. Check it out. Thanks, everybody. And as always, if you're listening to the podcast, please go check out the other shows on our network, pqrn.net. Some great paranormal shows, some great fun shows. Check out the schedule. I know they're adding some new shows.
And if you want to do a show, contact them at staff@pqrn.net. They'll hook you up. And, I mean, they do have...
And it doesn't have to be necessarily paranormal.
No, Craig is
up to anything.
Right.
Yeah, he's it's a great...
Well, a prime example of that is Friday Ketchup. Comes out of Australia, is basically Panda News. It's an hour of odd news stories and Doctor Who updates.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there isn't. That's what I'm saying. But it's because Belinda's about as far away from a paranormal investigator as you can get.
Oh, speaking of Doctor Who updates, did you see the canine figure that they have on ThinkGeek?
I did not.
You got to go to ThinkGeek. It's like $17, but they are the only ones that are selling this figure of canine. You can get this same canine in a collector's edition with the TARDIS, but ThinkGeek is the only ones that have it, just the figure. I found it today, and if it wasn't for Christmas, it would be mine. But Christmas is coming, and if I buy anything for myself this close to Christmas, I might as well just sleep in the truck. It's that simple.
I can see you pondering that choice.
It was a tough one.
Sleep in the truck.
And have the canine on my desk at work. Or not have the canine and sleep next to a beautiful redhead. I went with the redhead. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody. We will see you next week. And check you on the flip side. Have a great night.
Yeah.
Good night.